Hello and welcome to the Friday, April 25th, 2014 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Augusta, Georgia. Today, a new vulnerability was made public in the Apache Struts framework. This is a very popular Java framework used, for example, by Tomcat. If you're using it, it's very urgent that you're applying the workaround quickly. The reason this is so urgent is that this is really just a variation of a vulnerability that was found late last year and fixed in March, and it's very trivial to exploit the vulnerability. The old version of this vulnerability used the action parameter and then just called class .loader. Now, in order to fix this problem, the Struts project implemented a blacklist and put the dot on the blacklist for the action parameter. Sadly, there's another way to call class loader with class and then in square brackets loader in single quotes. Neither square brackets nor single quotes are on the blacklist at this point. So essentially the workaround is to filter all actions that contain square brackets or a single quote. For the exact workaround, please just refer to our diary, and in the show notes, I'll also mention actually two URLs, one with the discovery of the exploit, and then another a little bit more readable blog post that also explains the workaround. And we can't quite let go of Heartbleed yet. An important warning for everybody scanning their networks with Nmap or with any of the Heartbleed scanning tools. Turns out that the HPILO cards, which are these remote admin cards that you typically use to recover a down server, these cards are vulnerable to a denial of service condition if they're exposed to the Heartbleed exploit. The bad part here is that the only way to fix the denial of service, which essentially is a crash of these cards, is to not just reboot the cards, but to actually disconnect both AC cables, if you have a dual power supply, from the system in order to reload the cards. So this will involve then, of course, taking down the entire server, which in particular, if this happens to be a Blade chassis or a virtualized server, you will have a real hard time shutting down all the services and then bring them back up in an orderly manner. This also serves as an important reminder that scanning tools that don't really intend to cause any harm still regularly lock up and crash systems. One reader also noted that Juniper NetScreen firewalls suffer the same fate if scanned with the Heartbleed exploit, but we haven't seen sort of an independent verification of this at this point. Last year, a big scandal broke in England about the press widely hacking voicemail systems. This started a big public inquiry, and a lot of users were asked to, for example, change their pins away from the default pin provided by the carrier. Turns out that still to this day, according to an investigation done by the British publication The Register, it's actually not even necessary to know someone's pin in order to gain access to voicemail. All that is required is caller ID spoofing, which of course is still pretty easy to pull off. And once you spoof the caller ID off the user, then the voicemail box typically will not even ask for a PIN. So in this case, you can just log in and retrieve the voicemail messages without any real authentication. This is a widely reported problem, also happens in the US. And if you do have the option to do so, make the system ask for a PIN, even if you do call from your own phone number, as there is no real bulletproof way right now to actually identify the caller based on a caller ID. Sadly, many voicemail systems don't even have the option to ask for any additional authentication. And some more good news emerging for OpenSSL from the Heartbleed fiasco. And that is major funding for the OpenSSL project from the Linux Foundation. The Linux Foundation's core infrastructure initiative raised multiple million dollars from a number of industry heavyweights like Amazon, Cisco, Dell, Facebook, and others. We'll see how this will work out. One of the problems that had been outlined for the OpenSL project was that there was no real funding for the project, so there was nobody really full-time working on it. And we'll have to see how this will all also combine with OpenBSD's effort to rewrite or fix OpenSSL. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.